And church, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to preach to you. I don't get to do that very often, and it is a joy to do that, and I thank you for it. But I also want to thank Pastor for opening up his pulpit. I understand what that's like, so I appreciate what you've done. And I agree, it's nice to see a fairly full crowd, all these people that are here. Now, again, they're your family, so I understand that. Yeah. So Merry Christmas to you all, and a Happy New Year. I often sit back and contemplate, what does this culture think about this, the Christmas season, the baby in the manger, all the things that are talked about? I ask the question, what do they know about the Bible? And honestly think that there are some things they do know, although they don't understand. One of those things that they know is that John 3:16 is a verse in the Bible. In fact, if you watch football, you're going to see a big placard with John 3:16 at least plastered on it, not the words, but at least the actual statement itself, John 3:16. We understand that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we appreciate that. And I think they know that. I don't think they know have a clue what it means. They think of the Christmas story, another thing that I think they're familiar with, the Christmas story. This baby in a manger. They see that cute little innocent baby sitting there being good, and they don't go past the point that Pastor Dan actually talked about last week, and that is that he's going to die. He came for one specific purpose, and that is to die on a cross in our place for our sins. He came to set his people free. And what an important truth that is for us at this point in time. But I also think that they know those last verses in Luke 2, 13 and 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what I want to think about this morning. I want to consider what God means when he talks about giving glory to himself. And as I thought about that, I asked the other side of that question. How do you and I, as mere human beings, how do we give glory to God? How do we actually go about and do that? And so that's what I want to spend my time this morning talking about. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, join me as we ask God's blessing upon our time in his word together. So would you pray with me? Father, again, as I come before you, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. Father, you sent your Son, your only begotten Son, to die on a cross in our place for our sins. It was the only way that we could be right with you. And I think about what those angels, what they cried out. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Father, as we think about that again, it is my prayer that you would guide our thinking, help us to understand the truth, guide my mouth, that I might be able to speak your truth and just your truth. And Father, help us to have a better appreciation of what it means to bring glory to you. And I'm going to pray that, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray that now. Amen. And so I plan to do this by looking at seven main verses. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each verse, so don't get nervous. But I want to ask the question, what does it mean to give glory to God? And I'm going to actually define that term at this point in time. Giving glory to God means making his presence known to others in what I do, what you do. I'll repeat that. Giving glory to God means making his presence known to others in all that I do, all that we do. So I'm going to actually start in a very unusual place. As you see, my thesis would be that we should join the angelic host by giving glory to God in the highest at all times by all that we do. That's what it means to give glory to God. And so I'm going to start in an unusual place. I'm going to ask you, if you've got a Bible, to turn to Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Why would we go there? That's just an unusual place to be looking at. I'm going to start off with point number one. We reveal God's presence to this world by speaking the truth. Joshua 7, 19. Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And I think what we see here is the story of Achan finally realizing that he needs to tell the truth to God. Now, you all know the story of Achan. We all could sing the song at this point in time. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. And the walls come tumbling down. Yes. And God's plan at this point in time was for Jericho to be completely destroyed. They weren't going to save anything. Animals, gold, silver, precious stones. It didn't make any difference what it was. They weren't going to keep anything at all. And in fact, if you look at verse 20, this is what Achan says to Joshua. "I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them, and I took them. And there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of the temple, with the silver under them." And see, what had gone on is that they had destroyed Jericho so well, they thought that they could just take a few of their guys and go get Ai. But Ai defeated them. And God told them that there was a reason why Ai defeated them, and that was because of sin in the camp. And so Joshua figures it out, and he tells Achan, "I want you to speak the truth. I want you to speak the truth. It's more important to God at this point in time that you speak the truth. You reveal God's presence to that world by speaking the truth." Paul spent a lot of time talking about what it meant to speak the truth in the book of Ephesians, which we've been through. And he tells us that you and I need to learn to speak the truth in love. As you and I speak the truth in love, you know what we're doing? We're telling an unsaved, corrupt world what the truth is, that there is a God. And we're revealing his presence to a world that needs to hear it in our own actions. And so the first point is very clear. We need to reveal God's presence to the world by speaking the truth. Point two. I actually love this verse. If you'll turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19:1, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." The heavens declare the glory of God. And so point number two, in bringing glory to God, we join all creation to reveal God's presence to the world by singing it out. And what's creation do? Well, the sun, moon, and stars, they shine out bright. They help us to see the light. They help dispel the darkness that's in this actual world at this point in time. And so they reveal God in a real way. And so what do? We do the same thing. We are to shine out God's love and who God is in our own life, and that should drive them to one place and one place only, and that's the presence of God in our life. Point number three. Dave's actually not here. Dave has told me many times that I have to be done by 11:45. So I'm still trying to get you out at a reasonable time at this point in time. And I want to go to Psalm 30:12. I'm going to read that verse, and then we're going to talk about it just briefly. It says, "To the end, that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Now, if that sounds familiar, it should. Pastor preached on this at Thanksgiving time. He helped us understand what it means to actually be thankful people. And he told us the story about that, and I'm going to summarize it again briefly. David had done something really horrible. He took a census. Now you're saying, so what's the big deal about that? I mean, our president has talked about taking another census, and we just had a census taken, and it's nice to know how many people there are. But you see, what David's problem was is that he wanted to find out just how many fighting men he had so that he might be able to go out and conquer some more nations. And who did he trust? Was he trusting God? Was he trusting his own strength? And God took offense to that. And God gave him three choices. None of the choices were good. And what David chose reveals a lot about David, because what David chose is that he put himself in the hands of God in his mercy instead of other things that were out there. And God relented. And God gave him mercy. And yes, they lost a lot of people because of the sin that David had done. But at the end of this, we read this psalm, and you can spend some time today, if you want to, reading Psalm 30 again, although, again, he did a wonderful job of proclaiming the truth of this psalm back Thanksgiving time. What we read is those verses that we just read. David understood that in spite of the trials and difficulties that he had faced, God was there. And that he could give him glory by his praises that he sang, and by his thanks. I think it's important for us to understand that as people today, as we think about how we can actually go about giving glory to God. Because you see, point number three is very simple. We reveal God's presence to the world by singing praises during times of trial and testing. I'm not looking for a show of hands. But how many of you are at even this current point going through a time of testing or trial? I mean, we've been praying for Josh and Jody and kids for a long time. That was a terrible trial. That was a difficult trial. To have your own little child go through a time of, and I can just imagine, being a medical doctor, what it was like to see your son with all the instruments attached to him and how difficult that was. But you know what we just heard? They gave God glory because of what had happened during that time, in the midst of it. And in the midst of our own trials and difficulties, you know, we can do the same thing. We should do the same thing. Because you see, what happens is this world is watching. The whole world is watching. How do we handle trials and difficulties in our life, the testing in our life? How do we go about handling that? Do we give praise to God? Or do we do what we usually try to do about it, take care of it ourselves? Maybe pray later. My wife has in her kitchen a little placard that says, pray first. I think that's important for us to understand. During times of trials and testing in our life, the whole world is watching. How you respond to those trials in your life either tells them that they can look to a God who is taking care of things or not. And so we reveal God's presence to this world by what we do during those trials. Do we sing praises to Him? I can remember I was working in an urgent care clinic. I had an office. It's a nice office. I set my computer up. It's an important piece of my equipment because it has all my Bible software on it. And so it was expensive to buy, and it was one of those things that I really liked having. I was busy working, seeing patients, and doing what I needed to do. Took some time off to go and find out that my computer was gone. Someone had seen this person leave. Excuse me. Had just seen this person leave. I didn't know what to do. I went and saw patients. And I told the first one that I came to, someone just took my computer and why that's important. And you know what that person said to me? Did you praise God? Did you thank God? No, I hadn't. And so right then and there, in front of this individual, we prayed to God and we thanked Him for what He'd done. Now, my computer came back. I did get it back, and God was good and gracious and got it back to me. But nonetheless, I recognized an important truth at that time, that during that trial in my life, it was a test, I had failed. I had not given praise to God during that time, given glory to God. And so we give glory to God, we make His presence known during those times by singing praises to Him. Can we do that? Should we do that? Will you do that? That's the question we have to ask. My fourth point, if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. We read these words. You've heard me say them before. You will hear me say them again. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we reveal God's presence to the world by giving Him glory in... That's really hard. All that we do. And everything that we do. You see, what he's telling us, what Paul's telling us is that when I eat, I ought to bring glory to God. I end up going out a couple times a month with another individual or two. We go and eat. That's one of the things that I like to do. I find it very encouraging to be able to eat a meal together with someone else. But what we always ask the waitress is there anything we can pray for you about? Now, there have been times when we've had a few grumpy people who said, no, I'm fine. I don't need any prayer. That's sad. But the last time we went out, we ended up inviting this person to church, not in our area, because it was down in Bellbrook, but in Bellbrook. I'm hoping she takes her kids there. My wife and I, we pray before we eat any meal. I'm hoping you guys do that too. And it's amazing to me the number of people who will, as we get ready to leave or they get ready to leave, will come up and say, you prayed for your food. I'm so encouraged to have you do that. And you see, We're making God's presence known by our prayer time before meal. It's something simple to do. It's amazing how different things can be because we do that. So whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, men, let me step on your toes for a minute because I'm guilty. When you're driving, do you give glory to God when someone cuts you off? Do you give glory to God if you run into a red light and you really didn't want it? You understand this verse is telling us very clearly, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, driving, and I don't care what it is, watching television, reading a book, we need to do that by giving glory to God. And why? Because as we reveal God's presence to a world that is without God, we do that by everything that we do. And I mean everything we do, no matter what it is. Singing in the choir, just singing the songs that are out there. We need to do that. If you look over at the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 11, we come to my fifth point. This is what it says. Every tongue should confess, and we'll go back to 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those things in heaven, those things on earth, those things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You see, fifth point, we reveal God's presence to the world by kneeling to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling us here at this point in time. We all know this chapter too. I love Philippians chapter 2. It tells us that we need to have the mind of Christ in everything that we do. As we have the mind of Christ, then you recognize there is coming a day when everybody, every man, woman, and child will do what? They'll confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord and kneel to him. I think it's important for us to understand that. How do we bring glory to God? By allowing him to run our life. It's not easy. We don't like it sometimes when he asks us to do things we don't want to do. Imagine you came to a point of Josh saying, yes, God, you want me to go to Brazil? I'll do that. But it's going to require me to learn an entire new language. And it would sure be easier as a missionary family to just simply say, why don't we stay home? But that's not what we get to do, is it? We have to understand, he has the right to be able to tell me how to live my life and when to live my life. And that's what he's doing here. He's helping us to understand as Christian disciples that we need to allow God to be the one who rules me, to help me to be the all that I can be in him and through him by kneeling to him and giving him praise. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians, we're going back a little bit. Chapter 11. You all know this passage too, and next week you're gonna hear it again. Next week is a time when we get to be involved in taking the Lord's table. So point number 6, we reveal God's presence to the world by taking of the Lord's table. We give glory to God by taking of the Lord's table. So you all know this section of Scripture well. I've received from the Lord that which I have delivered also unto you, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as drink it in remembrance for me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You're revealing in taking the table what Jesus has done for you, Christian. Jesus came to earth to live an obedient life, die on a horrible cross for you. And as we take the Lord's table, it's not just you that's taking the table. It's us as a church. And what happens is people see it and they know that we're honoring Jesus Christ for what he's done for us and the death that came on that cross. And although it doesn't say it gives glory to God to do that, I think the fact that it's giving remembrance is what it means by that. So my last point. Back to the Christmas story. We spent a lot of time looking at that. Let's look at it again. It won't hurt. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, saying, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Why'd the angels sing? One purpose and one purpose alone. To give glory to God. So point number 7, we reveal God's presence to the world by joining the heavenly angels in giving God glory in song. What a wonderful truth that is for us to understand. God reached down and he helped us to understand the truth of that gospel message. That baby in the manger was going to grow up to be our Savior on the cross. What a gift he gave to us, right? Christmas is over. A new year is just 4 days away. Thursday. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I've learned a long time ago I don't make resolutions. It's an interesting thing because I am a devoted why-goer. I am there every single day or at least out someplace walking. And starting January 1st, that place, it's closed. But on the 2nd, that place is as busy as can be. You can't get into anything. By February 14th, Valentine's Day, the crowd is gone. There's no longer people. But I think that it would be a really good thing for you and I today to make a New Year's resolution. To bring glory to God. To make his presence known to others, to a world that doesn't like him and doesn't want anything to know, do with him, by the things that we do. So how do we do that? We speak the truth at all times. to a world that can't stand the truth. We look up in the sky, we see God's presence. I really love living in Michigan because I could go to the dunes, but I really just like looking out at the sky when it's not cloudy, being able to see the stars and the sun and the moon. And we look up in the sky and see God's presence everywhere. We bring Him glory when we sing praises to our sovereign Lord, even through times of trials and testing. That might be the hardest one for us to do, but we should do it. We live the presence of God in all that we do. We acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord. We are His slaves. We reverently partake of the Lord's table, recognizing that as we do that, we're bringing remembrance of what Christ has done for us, and with the angels, we sing glory to God alone. That's what we do. That's how we bring glory to God. And again, may we decide today, it's really what we want to do. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.